My name is Ron. I'm an alcoholic, grateful believer. And tonight we're going to do mini monies. We haven't done that for a while. And so we've got some people here. Thank you very much, all of you. They volunteered to give a little piece of their story tonight. They've been here a while. They've been through step study. And they will speak for themselves. Just a real quick note, as some of you know, I just celebrated 25 years of sobriety. I don't say that to brag, but no, come on, no. My sponsor sent me this beautiful plaque, and it was in honor of 25 years of sobriety. It was just beautiful, so I sent him a nice thank you note. And today was the day to call him, so I called him, expecting, you know, and I just get this nasty reply. So I think, well, what is it, you know, what I do now, you know, kind of thing. Well, anyway, apparently in my note, I said, thank you very much for the plague for 25 years. So I replaced the Q with a G, I see, so anyway. The way it goes in my life. We'll start with Chuck tonight. He's going to be first to give his mini money.
I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and through his strength I am finding freedom from mood and mind-altering chemicals and from shame, guilt, and unworthiness. My name is Chuck. I was born in Portland, Oregon, right before colored television. The youngest of five children, I would like to be able to say that my childhood was a normal one. However, it was not. Some of the highlights of my childhood were when I got to know about God. It would be many years later that I would enter into a relationship with him. As a family, we attended several churches growing up. I got to know God and many of his Bible stories like Noah, Daniel, Jonah, and the love that Jesus Christ has for all of us. When I was 11 years old, we were baptized as a family. Over the next few years, my life would change drastically. I would enter into a world of shame, guilt, lust, and selfishness that would overtake me like a raging inferno. At the age of 13, my dad molested me, and from that experience, I learned to masturbate, and the fire of self-pleasure would overtake me. At the age of 14, my parents divorced. At the age of 15, a patron of my mom's restaurant would introduce me to pornography. That same year, my best friend's sister would introduce me to pot, cocaine, and sex. That fire of self-pleasure has now turned into an out-of-control raging inferno. I found that by smoking pot, it blocked out most of the shame and guilt that I was feeling inside. My life would be full of drugs, partying, and doing whatever I wanted to do, and not caring about anyone else. Looking back in that rearview mirror of life, the good points were when I managed to get myself so deep into drugs or destroying two marriages or being arrested for controlled substance, an empty film container that smelled like pot and a straw that had cocaine residue inside. However, God reminded me in jail that if I would have been arrested a week earlier with several ounces of pot and cocaine, that I could still be in jail today. That's when I turned back to God. I knew he would be there. Hebrews 13:5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So I would start to pray, read God's word, and as faithful and true as he is, God would lift me up, dust me off, encourage me, and things would start to turn around in my life for the better. I got involved in NA programs 2 days a week, and with God's help, I have been free from meth since August of 1996. Praise God. Then, like all the times before, I would start to take back control, and I would slowly start to slip back into my old ways of thinking, you know, I can do this on my own. I'm in control. I'm not hurting anyone. Once again, it was all about me and my selfishness. Today, I call that denial. That attitude was very destructive to the ones in my life whom I'd loved, and they were the ones that I'd hurt the most. About 4 years ago, I was back at one of those low points in my life. My lovely wife and I were growing apart. I was still smoking pot daily, mad at the world and full of anger, rage, and self-pity. In May of 2009, I surrendered. I gave up the pot and gave my heart to God. This time it was different. I did not ask God to get me out of the problems that I had caused. I asked God to fix the real problem, me. For the first time in my life, I reached out and took a hold of God's hand. It had always been there, but my pride, my self-will, and my denial would not let me reach for it. During that prayer, I asked God to bring one solid Christian man into my life, and I would commit myself to becoming a real and authentic believer, and I would turn my life over completely to his care and control. Well, guess what God did? His gentle hand led me to Rolling Hills, a Saturday morning Bible study fellowship, a disciple training group, and I just asked for one man. However, there was still something missing. Those deep roots or scars of shame, guilt, and unworthiness of God's love were still popping up like a dandelion. That when you cut the top off, the root is still there. It wasn't until I stepped through those doors and to celebrate recovery that I started to find freedom from my hurts, hang-ups, and habits. With the help of the Holy Spirit and many of you in this room tonight, I've taken an honest spiritual inventory of myself. I have, with God's help, openly examined and confessed my faults to myself, to God, and to my sponsor, whom I trust. For me, this is just the beginning of the journey, agreeing with God on a daily basis. After all, God is all-knowing and all-seeing. What could I ever hide from him, and why would I even try? Adam couldn't hide from God. Jonah couldn't run from him. So what can I do? Run towards God with my arms wide apart, my hands wide open to receive his grace and his love. Jesus tells us in Revelation 3:20-22, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him or her who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are the churches, and we are all God's children." Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Chuck. Now, Leah, we'll go.
Hi, my name is Leah. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm finding victory over pornography, and I'm still struggling with trust in relationships. Yeah. Hey, I grew up in church, going to Sunday school and learning about God. I turned my life over to Christ at age 4. I live the Christian life, but only on the outside. I often felt like I didn't fit in, not at home, not at school, and not at church. I felt like an outcast. I began to change how I acted around people in order to be accepted. At age 12, I remember having my first exposure to pornography that really stuck in my mind. I felt that I couldn't tell anyone. I felt ashamed and dirty. The pain of loneliness and longing for acceptance was too much for me to bear. In my pain, I found my way into a pornography addiction. This was my freshman year of high school. I used it to cover up the hurt and the pain. I replaced the negative feelings with feelings of pleasure, no matter how twisted it was. I believed no one would accept me if they knew my secret. I didn't want them to see the pain in my life. I had to protect myself. So I built a brick wall around my heart and let no one in. I felt guilt and shame for what I was doing because I knew it was wrong, yet I felt powerless to stop. I thought a good Christian should be able to stop this ugly habit. And God felt like a brick wall that I couldn't talk to and couldn't help me. While at university, I met godly Christian people at the Bible studies I attended. They had a close relationship with God. I realized my secret sin was in the way and I needed to stop. I tried so hard yet relapsed many times. I went home for the summer and knew that I needed a radical change in my life. I had heard of Celebrate Recovery and knew that one of my mentors attended. I still didn't think recovery was for me, but I decided to give it a shot. I noticed people shared real struggles and real victories in their lives in Open Share Group. This was a new experience for me. I had never really experienced a group of people being so open and authentic about their lives. Then I joined a step study. Step study showed me that my addiction was not the root of my problems. It was only a symptom of deeper roots in my life. Once I was clean from my addiction, I could see more clearly that I could deal with my pain. I was back to reality. I had a lot of lies I believed about myself that needed to be corrected. I am still working through these to believe the truth about what God says about me. I have learned tools to combat the lies and have a support system around me to call upon. I have learned forgiveness is a huge part of healing, and I am still walking on that journey. He is restoring me to how he designed me to be. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I am in no way perfect. I'm a work in progress. I will not be complete until I meet Christ face to face. Don't give up. The end is worth the work. This ministry and the support it provided me have saved my life. And glory be to God who stood by my side and carried me through. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who is turning my brokenness into a beautiful garden. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. Next, we have Noah.
Hey, my name's Noah. I'm a grateful believer in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I'm a drug addict. I have stepped out of denial, and I have no problem saying that now. I just celebrated my one-year anniversary of being drug and alcohol-free. My recovery is improving my life in every way. I'm learning to love others, love life, and love myself. I'm learning to be a better son, father, and future husband. I feel so blessed and thankful now for the life God is providing for me because before I got clean, I was headed for destruction. During my childhood, my family consisted of my dad, my mom, my older brother, and my younger sister. We attended church each Sunday. We went to church groups, and I was even in choir for a few years, which I didn't enjoy because I was shy. My life changed a lot when I entered into middle school. At school, I became painfully shy. Everyone around me looked better, had better clothes, better grades, and a better family. My solution was to impress the cool kids by being rude and causing trouble. At home, my mom and dad were in a constant battle, which finally ended with my mom leaving us. My high school career was filled with drugs, sex, partying. Instead of sitting at my desk learning algebra or world history, I was sitting in the parking lot getting high, learning how to numb the pain. When I was high, I felt like I was everything I wanted to be. I was popular, funny, and charming. After high school, which I never actually finished, I couch surfed for a while. Then I went to live with my mom. At first, it was okay. We smoked weed together. I got a job at Domino's up the street. Without a car, I spent most of the time stranded at my mom's house. After a while, my life started to feel meaningless. My mom was emotionally unstable. I had no girlfriend, no friends, and no family. I had a panic attack. As I walked down Barber Boulevard, waiting for a car to jump in front of me, I said a small prayer and decided to call my dad. I moved back in with my dad and stayed clean for 6 months. I got a job and a nice car. I even started attending CR in a step study. I was set. Then I decided I could probably hang with the old crowd and I started smoking marijuana again. Since it's not that bad, besides I've already quit once, I could do it easily again if I wanted to. One thing led to another. Over the next couple years, I ended up losing my car, becoming a father myself, quitting my job and moving out to a very small town, White Salmon, Washington. I was hoping this would be a fresh start for me, my new little family. I left everything behind, everything but my drug habit, which once again led me down an old familiar path of destruction. I had once again found myself broken, lost, and hurting. I felt like I was dangling on the edge of a cliff in the middle of nowhere, holding on with one arm. I could let go and give up, or I could reach out and grab a hold of Jesus' outstretched hand and allow him to help me up. I moved back to Portland area and began attending CR again. Up until this point, my objective for each day was to determine how, where, and how soon I could get high. Now every day was a struggle just to stay clean. The only way I was able to get through it was taking all the energy I spent focusing on drugs and using it to focus on God and growing in a relationship with Jesus. CR works for me because it's provided me a way to talk about my struggles with others who understand and had been there before. Completing a step study allowed me to learn about myself and provide me the tools to work through my past. The friends I have made in CR are there for me, keeping me accountable. Thank you. My relationship with Jesus is growing. Now that I have come clean with myself and God, I am able to talk with him in a more real way and learn from his word. As my relationship with God grows, I see improvements in my relationships with my family. The past year, I was able to enjoy Thanksgiving, Christmas, and birthdays with a clear head, unlike the memories of past holidays, which I regretfully don't fully remember. These are memories I will never forget. I have often thought about why I became a drug addict. Was it in my genes? Was it because I was so uncomfortable in my own skin? Was it because I had no one to teach me the dangers at a young age? Was it because I was trying to fit in? Maybe it all had played a part. I could shift blame however I want, but the bottom line is I was hiding from my problems and hiding from God. Why I became a drug addict is not as important as what I'm going to choose to do now. To the newcomer, I just want to say, don't give up. You made it here. That's the first step. I'm here for you. I love you. Trust me, God wants you here. He has beautiful things planned for your life if you decide to follow his will. But don't just sit there, listen to our stories, and leave. That's not enough. You have to get involved. Reach out. Scary, I know, but it's worth it, and you're worth it. My saying is, it's not the not doing that gets the doing done. Thanks.
Thank you, Noah. Now we have Crystal.
Oh, my name is Crystal. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am struggling with sexual integrity and relationship addiction. Hello. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. My mother became pregnant with me 4 months after she delivered my sister. Because of this shock, she and my dad seriously thought of aborting me. A friend of my mother's led her back to the Lord and changed my mom's heart to have me. This is when this verse was passed down to my mom and then to me. I made Jesus my Savior when I was 8 years old and was baptized at age 12 by my pastor and my dad. I grew up going to church and enjoying a fun childhood. When I was in kindergarten, I became aware of my sexuality as I imitated a girl in class gratifying herself. I began engaging in this activity frequently and discovered how good it felt. This was innocent at first, but as I grew up, it changed into an addiction, having visions of sexual situations and whatever else I could think of to achieve this high. This was my little secret until coming to Celebrate Recovery over 4 years ago. I shared my secret with a room full of women and for the first time was free from the stronghold of shame and guilt that kept me bound for years. During my 20s, I also struggled heavily with anxiety and depression, and I had always believed that my parents' decisions were right, what God wanted, so I submitted to their decisions. This created bitterness, resentment, and extreme anger that grew toward them. I was having some negative thoughts that turned into visions of wanting to hurt my parents and others if they tried to make decisions for me. I was tired of living my life to please people. Because of these emotions, I allowed the enemy to let seethe inside of me. I thought I was destined to go to hell. Whenever I reached out to God, my heart was not in the right place, and I felt it was just words. The enemy kept telling me I didn't really want to release this hatred and bitterness. I really didn't think I could. For 10 years, I lived under this bondage and believed I could never have a genuine relationship ever, and that because my heart was so hard, God couldn't see me, so therefore couldn't do anything. I envisioned this glass ceiling between me and God and wanting desperately to reach him. It was too hard for me to continue attending church and doing all the things I enjoyed, especially worshiping my God through song. I became paranoid that when I went to church, people could look inside of me and see that I was just faking it and that I was really a horrible person. I was in and out of counseling, on and off of antidepressants. Nothing worked. This whole time, I would share how I was feeling with friends, and they would all say how God had an amazing plan for my life if he was allowing me to experience such turmoil. I desperately wanted to believe it. I honestly don't have a specific event or time I remember this oppression finally lifting. I do know during those 10 years, I did reach out to God, but it was in the form of anger. There were no proper Baptist prayers said during this time. I was mad, questioning and pleading for God to just help me understand the how and why of my suffering. but I was still reaching out to him. I learned he can handle my questions, my anger, and my pleading, and it has made my relationship with him real, as well as give me the patience to help others. I believe now that God still and always had a perfect plan for me. If he leads me to something difficult, he will help me through it and will give me the opportunity to lead others through where I have been. Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Crystal. Last but not least is Stephen.
Don't bring this up. Hi, everybody. And just a funny side note, I actually gave this speech yesterday in my public speaking course at PCC. So at least this time I'm not getting graded for it. So we'll see. All right. Most of my adult life, I have walked a tightrope between being a functioning member of society and a drug addict. I have tried to hold down jobs and have relationships, but at the same time struggling secretly with my addictions. Several times I have tried to run from my addictions, at one point even joining the Air Force to get away from a bad situation I had created. Unfortunately, every time I would distance myself, my old behaviors like selfishness and rationalization were always right there with me. When I finished my four-year enlistment with the Air Force, I decided that I didn't want to move back to Portland because the demons I ran from there were still pretty fresh in my past. I figured I would move to Tacoma because I was going to be in the reserves at McCord Air Force Base. Over the course of 6 years living in Tacoma, I once again balanced my secret drug-using life with my job, a girlfriend, and the Air Force Reserves. Eventually, the truth was starting to catch up to me. After getting high all night, I went to work, and I was still very intoxicated. I was running a patient through some pre-testing for the doctor and was nodding off while doing it. The patient told the doctor, who then told the office administrator what happened. I was confronted to take a drug test, which I tried to get out of by claiming I didn't have to go to the bathroom for about 3 hours. The next day, I was required to give a hair sample for the drug test. At this point, I knew my world was starting to come crashing down. I ended up just being honest about my drug use with the office administrators. They offered to send me to an inpatient facility in Washington, but in my prideful stupidity said I didn't need it and I could conquer this on my own. About 2 months after this, and slowing down but not stopping my drug use, they fired me when I showed up 2 hours late one morning because they already knew what was up. This is when things in my life really started exponentially sliding out of control. I ended up cashing out my 401k to the tune of $6,000 and became a full-time drug user. I continued to use drugs on a daily basis until the money ran out and eventually I was being evicted from my apartment. I then became a daily drug user that was living in my car with a cat. Just when I thought things couldn't get any worse, I was pulled over one night and cited for driving while suspended, and they towed away the car I was living in. I continued to stay in the Tacoma area with friends and also continued to use drugs. I ended up meeting another lady that was getting ready to leave Tacoma, and I decided I could hitch a ride with her to Portland where I could start to get my life back on track. Unfortunately, we decided to get high one last time before hitting the road. The driver ended up falling asleep at the wheel. That was the day things in my life really came to a head. I was in a rollover car accident and broke my neck, requiring surgery. I thought to myself, why did God let me walk away from that? I could have easily been paralyzed. I often thought if I were the one calling the shots, there was no way someone like me deserved to walk away from that based on how I was living my life. That's when I really felt God's forgiveness. Before I left for inpatient drug treatment, while waiting for my spine surgery to heal, I began attending Celebrate Recovery at Rolling Hills. At this point, I was still skeptical about organized religion, but I was definitely starting to develop a personal relationship with God. Once I completed 3 months in treatment, I returned to Celebrate Recovery. Over the next few months, God helped me get over my psychological obsession about getting high. I started volunteering at the church a few days a week and helping out with the cooking for Celebrate Recovery, where I was able to meet some great followers of Christ that put Christianity in a new light for me. After regularly attending Celebrate Recovery and working through a step study, I felt I was in a pretty good place in my life. Everything I learned about God and myself really got put to the test when my brother got pulled over for speeding coming back from night skiing on St. Patrick's Day 2013. After we got pulled over, they wanted to see all of our IDs. I knew there was going to be a problem when I saw the second squad car show up. Typically, police officers don't call for backup on a routine speeding ticket. It turned out I had some outstanding warrants from an old retail theft charge from 2 years earlier. From the moment I was taken into custody, I saw God at work again in my life. It turns out I was about to be on spring break for the next 12 days, and I ended up spending the next 9 days in every county jail between Clackamas and Pierce County while they extradited me back to Tacoma. While I was in jail, I had the opportunity to share some of my victories I had received through Celebrate Recovery with other people still fresh in their circumstances. I was also able to see how much change had happened within me because even while being in jail this time, I had a lot more peace about the situation than I did 2 years ago. And, you know, I just want to share just a little bit of scripture that I kind of stumbled across that I think really encapsulates what Celebrate Recovery is doing. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Thanks.